The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We have breaking news of a major situation unfolding at Bondi Beach this evening.
Police say the shooting was a targeted terrorist attack on a Jewish celebration.
It is Australia's worst mass shooting in nearly 30 years after 15 people died, including a 10-year-old girl.
Horror on Bondi, an unimaginable scene on Australia's most famous beach. People running, but from what? At this point, few understood what was unfolding.
It was a scene of absolute terror.
It just went to everybody just running and terrified.
It was just panic. It was pandemonium.
Gunshots.
This is the earliest footage we have of the gunman. It's not clear how soon after the attack started they began filming, but it captures the rest of the event. It takes place on Campbell Parade at the northern end of Bondi Beach. Both men are standing on this bridge, firing down into this area of parkland where the Hanukkah festival was taking place. About 30 seconds after this footage starts, one of the men, the one in white trousers, moves off the bridge to take up a position around here, from where he can fire at point-blank range at the crowds. 2 minutes and 50 seconds after the video begins, we have the extraordinary moment when a passerby decides to tackle him.
Oh!
It's a man!
He disarms him and gets him to back off, before eventually laying down the weapon and taking cover behind the tree. 60 seconds after he was disarmed, the man in white trousers is back on the bridge and firing with a different weapon.
These are confronting scenes in a country that prides itself on its low rates of violent crime.
What we saw yesterday was an act of pure evil, an act of anti-Semitism, an act of terrorism on our shores.
Australians are in utter disbelief something like this has happened.
Your government did nothing to stop the spread of anti-Semitism in Australia. You did nothing to curb the cancer cells that were growing inside your country. You took no action, you let the disease spread, and the result is the horrific attacks on Jews we saw today.
Hanukkah is the story of the survival of the Jewish religion. And yet, on the first day of this festival, people were again murdered, just because they were Jews.
Before we begin, however, I want to just pay my respects to the people, unfortunately, two are no longer with us. Brown University, 9 injured, and 2 are looking down on us right now from heaven. And likewise in Australia, as you know, that was a terrible attack, 11 dead, 29 badly wounded. And that was an anti-Semitic attack, obviously. And it, I just want to pay my respects to everybody. I must say in Syria also, we had an attack in Syria. And we had 3 great patriots terminated by bad people, and not the Syrian government. It was ISIS. Syrian government fought by our side. The new president fought by our side. But I just want to pay my respects to the families. We also had 3 injured, but 2 of them are already out of the hospital, and 1's going to be okay. But we lost 3, so it was a rough. It was a rough day. But to Australia and the Prime Minister, to everybody that we know so well, we get along with so well, we have a great relationship. That's a terrible situation going on over there. Think of that. And Brown University, great school. Great, really one of the greatest schools anywhere in the world. Things can happen. But they have a person of interest at Brown. And in Australia, you probably read they've, it's been a very, very brave person, actually, who went and attacked frontally one of the shooters and saved a lot of lives. So very brave person who's right now in the hospital, pretty seriously wounded. So I great respect to that man that did that.
I think the Trump statement there is at the opening of the Christmas party for the White House staff. Imagine opening a big celebration. This is supposed to be a time of peace. And there he is talking about this targeted attack on Jews in Australia. And then the one at Brown University on Saturday as well. That was targeted. That was targeted in the same way that Charlie Kirk was targeted. All these targeted killings, people going in and saying, I want to kill those people. I want to murder this group. I want to murder Jews. And just violence, family violence. You've got the Hollywood director or filmmaker, his wife. Last week, there was another singer who actually sang in the building behind me some years ago. Violence, blood, touching blood. It's just all over the place. I mean, think of the paradox of our time. You've got, on the one hand, you've got the Christmas celebrations. You've got, you know, Witkoff and company talking to Putin, and it's very successful. And now it's with Zelensky, and that's working out swimmingly. And then Hamas, I mean, they've been toned down. Everything's working there. We've got peace in the Middle East. Oh, well, we did have an attack in Syria on our U.S. troops. But don't worry. It wasn't the Syrian government, because that former al-Qaeda guy, he was just in the White House. We've made peace. It was ISIS. ISIS was the one that carried out the attack. Well, now we know it actually was someone associated with the Syrian officials working alongside U.S. troops right there in Syria. What a world we're living in. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at thetrumpet.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. Speaking of this world, you know, you're going to have commentators take off for a couple of weeks here anytime. And if you're a regular viewer of this program, you know that we pack a lot of programming into the last week or so of the calendar year, and even the first week of the next calendar year, even though this time around we do have a conference for our ministers coming in from all over the world for, I think it's the last of December, early January. So we're going to be hard at work with the conference as well. But just know that these programs will keep churning out new material. And of course, we've got the end of the year montage, the mega montage. Sometimes that spills over into two shows. So we'll see how, not to put any pressure on the guys in the control room, but we'll see how everything plays out. And I'm sure you'll be riveted if you stay with the shows. No repeats for the Trumpet Daily. We may have a sub or two here and there, but no repeats for the end of the calendar year. So the morning brief today, Mr. Hilliker, Joel Hilliker, Ezekiel 7 and verse 23, he referenced that. Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. I mean, what you heard there from President Trump, very similar to other statements or speeches we've heard. On the one hand, you hear of peace, you hear of courage, you hear of unity, and then you also hear of these targeted assassinations. With all that happened this weekend, you can expect the Brown University thing to just fall by the wayside because, well, the one targeted was a Republican gal, a young lady. I think she was the VP of the Republican Party there on campus. A very tiny minority in Brown University. I mean, Rhode Island's not exactly a bastion of conservatism. So the guy waltzes in. He's looking for her. He wants to kill her. Why not? I mean, they did it with Charlie Kirk. And oh, by the way, They waltzed the Charlie Kirk killer into the courtroom last week. He's smiling. He's got a nice suit on. Everything. Look, I'm all for due process, but what is going on? He's there just having a good old time with his attorneys in court. Looks very nice. Yeah, they dressed him up even. No orange jumpsuit for him. We'll just save that for, you know, Republicans. Or maybe when we go, we'll get the mugshot for Donald Trump. What a world we're living in. Is this God's world? I read this article over the weekend. It was from The Good News, 1968. I just love the, just how bold and straightforward the statement was. You know that this confused world standing on the brink of nuclear cosmicide cannot be God's world. You know this. He doesn't even cite the scriptures. Revelation 12, 9, 2 Corinthians 4, 4. He's like, if you're watching, I mean, what a weekend. I'm looking at news bits last night thinking, where do I even start today? What a gruesome, gruesome weekend of violent attacks, blood touching blood. It's just all over the place. Nation against nation. You've got some disgruntled guy who, well, he hates Americans, and there's 2,000 American troops in Syria still. They're trying to preserve some semblance of peace and order. They're working alongside the Al-Qaeda guy who's now, you know, a jihadi dressed in suits. He's trimmed the beard. He's ready to negotiate. And then, of course, for his part, Steve Bannon today, he's saying, why do we even have troops in Syria? You know, that's their response, Bannon, Tucker, and all them. Just get them out. If there's blood touching blood over there, just pull them into America. We'll huddle together here and everyone will be at peace. We can have our Christmas parties and everything else. This world is about to explode in violence. It is as John said it was. 1 John 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world. Revelation 12, 9 says Satan has deceived the whole world. You read, this is one of many passages. 1 Corinthians 6 has one, Galatians 5. But this here is Romans 1. See if this doesn't describe our world today. I read 2 Timothy 3 so often. Here's a different one. Being filled with all unrighteous. Well, verse 28. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God and their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind and to do those things which are not convenient, or basically, which are not lawful. They're breaking the law. They're transgressing. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. That's our world today. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. I mean, you're seeing some more high-profile families where, you know, an unhappy sibling or son or relative just cutting the throats of his parents. Stabbing his parents to death. That's a sickening world. And you look over at 2 Timothy 3, I mentioned that, but it talks about us not even having natural affection. And it also talks, just like it does here, about being disobedient to parents. I mean, how important is that commandment to honor your father and your mother? We're going the way of our modern society, which is, hey, forget about parenting and any kind of child rearing, punishment. We're so far advanced from that. The old days where we used to punish in love. Well, sometimes it wasn't in love, but in God's church, in God's family, it is. Or at least we strive to make sure that it is. But in a world where you're told, you're educated, just let the children roam free. Don't worry about establishing any sense of respect for authority. inventors of evil. Here the Australia massacre. It's a gun-free zone, but just like Brown University. I bet Rhode Island has some of the strictest gun laws in the world. Or at least in the United States. Australia has some of the strictest in the world. So how do the terrorists get the rifles? And then for the PM to come out and say, we need more gun laws. Somehow the criminals get the guns. Somehow they're able to just walk right into a room at Brown University and look for the conservative woman that they want to take out. And then you have the leaders, even after they've been warned. Look, the Jew hatred, it's intensifying in Australia. And I mean, after October 7, they took to the streets in Sydney to cheer them on. You better nip this in the bud or you're going to have a massacre down in Sydney. Well, that's what happened. I'll play you a clip in a little bit. Bibi Netanyahu. But, you know, Bibi's the bad guy. So if he warns the prime minister of Australia that you're going to have some kind of massacre your way if you don't stop this hatred. Well, Bibi's the problem. So you ignore Bibi. You ignore his warnings. And then now you've got October 7, 2 years ago for Little Israel. And now you've got December, what was it? December 14 for Sydney, Australia. And how do these gunmen just go on 20-some minutes? Really? And then you look at October 7. That was a total breakdown of security for Israel. And it just went on for hours. The killing, the maiming, the murdering, the raping. You look at some of that footage from Sydney and you just can't even believe it. Just standing there on some bridge right in the middle of a busy, one of the most popular beaches in Sydney. And just firing away. You saw there in the cold open, the guy takes the gun away, but then puts it down. And then the guy comes back. The killer comes back with more weapons. You know, in Mystery of the Ages, I think you know, some of you have been going through the book for the Fundamentals of Theology class. And if you just look at all seven mysteries together, I pulled it up online here. Who and what is God? The mystery of angels and evil spirits. You think about that sentence that God pronounced on civilization in Genesis 3, verses 22 through 24. Essentially cutting mankind off from God, from the tree of life. And then you go on into chapter 2. You see how all of the mysteries are connected. You go into chapter 2 of Mystery of the Ages, the mystery of angels and evil spirits. I mean, what happens to a human civilization that is cut off from God? Except for the select few that God calls out in advance. But all through the Bible, I mean, they're called a little flock. And they're scattered. And they're on the run. And they're persecuted. You can see all of this in our book, the True History of God's True Church. It's a little flock, as Jesus said it would be. Small and persecuted. Look at this world and look at how much, I mean, so much of the Jew hatred and the massacre of Jews, that's motivated by religion. Is that God's religion? Is it true religion? And it's not exactly being helped, the Jew hatred, I mean, by the MAGA movement, split down the middle because, well, half of them don't want any more help going toward Jews or Israel. And Tucker, for his part, just appalled by Israel taking out Hezbollah or firing back in Gaza. And that's what really angers him. But you wonder, well, did October 7 anger him? Did the massacre in Australia anger him? It's incredible when you see all seven. Mystery of the Ages really and truly does open your eyes to everything. I mean, following the second chapter, let me just pull it up. You've got the mystery of man. I mean, you just see utter hopelessness in the world today. People living without hope, young people strung out on drugs, killing their parents. And then the mystery of civilization. Why is this world the way it is? No amount of peace talk is going to remove what happened just yesterday in Sydney, Australia. One of the guys, I forget if it was in the cold open or one of the clips we have later, one of the survivors of that attack on that beach was also an October 7 survivor. Imagine being a Jew and being attacked on October 7. Then you happen to be in Sydney a couple years later and you're attacked again. What do they think about this world? There was a Holocaust survivor that was taken out yesterday. He survived the Holocaust, but he couldn't survive the hatred of 2025. Mr. Armstrong wrote, this is back in 1985 when he was promoting Mystery of the Ages and getting the church geared up for just mass promotion. He wanted to reach the largest audience possible because it answers all the major questions of life and why civilization is the way it is. The mystery of civilization. That's chapter 4. And then you've got the mystery of Israel, the mystery of the church, and the mystery of the kingdom of God. It opens your eyes to everything. He says in this letter from 1985, I've been working for the past 3 months on Mystery of the Ages. He talks about all these mysteries. Even the Bible is a mystery. And then he says this, listen to this. God has called us out of the world. The world was kidnapped by Satan the devil at Adam's temptation. For 8 days, he's talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, the last great day. But then he says, do we really understand that this is not God's world? It is Satan's world. People, I know I say it a lot on this show, but I have to because nobody believes this. Nobody in the world of traditional Christianity believes it, that this is Satan's world, even though verse after verse after verse says so. Whether it's Genesis 3, Revelation 12, 9, anywhere in between. I gave you Romans 1, 2 Timothy 3. The reason this world is the way it is because it's not God's world, and that should be obvious now. This is really what prompted Mr. Armstrong to write Mystery of the Ages. God just giving him this deeper understanding of the whole world being cut off from God. The whole world being kidnapped. It's not God's world. It's Satan's world. In Mystery of the Ages, well, I won't give you all the bits about the sentence God pronounced when Adam and Eve rejected the tree of life and took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Read it for yourself. Please do so. Genesis 3, 22 through 24. God basically said, I sentence you to go it alone, to decide for yourself. The way to educate your offspring and the way to set up governments, economies, basically everything. You're on your own. You don't have God's spirit. You don't have God's involvement. And so here we are 6,000 years later. And the world, as I say, is about to explode in violence. Listen to this from, this is just, you know, oh, ho-hum, Germany's rebuilding its war machine. This was on 60 Minutes last night here in the United States, clip 3.
Scarred by their country's Nazi past, Germans embraced pacifism after the Cold War. Defense spending collapsed to the point some soldiers were buying their own gear. But Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, combined with persistent pressure from President Donald Trump for Europe to shoulder more of its own defense, transformed the landscape. Today, Germany is racing to rearm.
Racing to rearm. Last week, I went through the story about the new German war machine. Maybe that was a couple of weeks ago now. But here are the talking heads, and I mean, they're happy about this development. They're excited. Germany is racing to rearm. And one big reason, well, Donald Trump, pressure. Pressure from Donald Trump, of all things. Prophecies are accelerating. And all this happening, even as Witkoff and Kushner meeting with Zelensky, Putin, Hamas, and then issuing these big declarations that everything looks really rosy and peaceful for our future. And then you have these bloody crimes, these massacres on Jewish people. Paradox of our time. Don't let the season, which is of this world, by the way, don't let it fool you. This is the time of year. Forget about Christmas, New Year's, all those celebrations, those human traditions. This is the time of year when there's more misery and violence. They stopped an attack, I believe, in Germany. A terrorist attack. This is the time of year when there's more depression. When there's more, you know, deficit spending. This is the time of year when there's more suicide. Why? How can this be? It's supposed to be a time of peace and parties and celebrations and gift giving, yes? Well, there's some of that too, but that's just the way Satan wants it. Because that way you can deceive us into thinking it's a pretty good world. I think we're on the cusp of something truly special, golden, peaceful. The Wall Street Journal, actually this is from the Daily Wire in the morning brief. On Saturday, a lone gunman ambushed a group of American service members engaged in counterterrorism operations in Syria. The gunman whom the White House, you heard it in the cold open, Donald Trump, he straight away said he's not of the Syrian government forces. I mean, he's ISIS. He's the bad guy because Syria loves us. And Syria, for the most part, leave ISIS aside, but Syria, they're the good guys now. Killed two American service members and their American translator, wounded five others. According to numerous reports, the gunman who was killed at the scene was an ISIS infiltrator who was working as part of the government security detail. President Donald Trump vowed in a Truth Social post that there will be very serious retaliation. The attacker who killed three Americans in an ambush was a member of the Syrian security forces who was set to be fired for holding extremist views. So how do you, what a tangled web it is. Here's 2,000 U.S. soldiers over there trying to keep the peace, but they can't keep ISIS out of the Syrian forces. It's so easy, isn't it, to put on a nice suit and to have a nice chat and to think that everything's solved. We finally have peace in the Middle East. Is this what peace in the Middle East looks like? Because we've been told it's historic. We've been told it's everlasting. We've been told it's eternal. How much longer before the United States just says, you know what, we tried. We tried with Hamas. We tried with Syria. We tried with BB. We can't make it work. So have at it, Germany. I mean, you're building your war machine. Why don't you take over? And that aligns perfectly with Bible prophecy. You should know this. This Bondi Beach massacre. I pushed it back just a little because I knew I wouldn't get to anything else. Because you could spend an hour, you could spend 2 hours on that. We had a Trumpet article that went up last night, I believe. Two Islamic terrorists opened fire on a Hanukkah celebration at Bondi Beach. At the time of writing, 15 people, I think that might now be 17. 17 people murdered. It's the worst mass shooting in Australia since the Port Arthur massacre in 1996. And you know, Australians, they pride themselves in not having as much violence as America. And that's true. But here, I mean, there's bloody crimes to go around. They're everywhere. And it's only going to get worse. It says here, one bystander was able to tackle Naveed, wrestled one of the guns from the terrorist before being shot twice. He has survived. Telegraph says here, this is not just the most grievous anti-Semitic attack Australia has ever experienced. It's also the most lethal terrorist attack yet perpetrated on Australian soil. Australian soil. Listen to Bibi as he criticized Australia, given the fact that he was pleading with them and the Australian PM pleading with them to do something about Jew hatred. Clip 11.
On August 17th, about 4 months ago, I sent Prime Minister Albanese of Australia a letter in which I gave him warning that the Australian government's policy was promoting and encouraging anti-Semitism in Australia. I wrote, "Your call for a Palestinian state pours fuel on the anti-Semitic fire. It rewards Hamas terrorism. It emboldens those who menace Australian Jews and encourages the Jew hatred now stalking your streets. Anti-Semitism is a cancer. It spreads when leaders stay silent. It retreats when leaders act. I call upon you to replace weakness with action, appeasement with resolve. Instead, Prime Minister, you replaced weakness with weakness and appeasement with more appeasement. Your government did nothing to stop the spread of anti-Semitism in Australia. You did nothing to curb the cancer cells that were growing inside your country. You took no action. You let the disease spread. And the result is the horrific attacks on Jews we saw today."
How many times does it have to happen? And why is it getting so much worse since October 7? You would think after October 7, I mean, just thinking about it, like, okay, this was a 9/11, so we've got to punch back and make sure that they're not able to do this again. Instead, we just, hey, we cleared the streets and said, take to the streets in support of Hamas and fly the flags of Hamas. Go ahead, do it in Sydney, do it in London, do it in New York. The land is full of bloody crimes. Melanie Phillips says, "We all knew this would happen again. They all knew it would happen again. They did nothing to stop it. Once again, Jews have been left full of grief, full of anguish, full of rage, after yet another atrocity taking innocent Jewish lives simply because they were Jews." Listen to this from Fox News, clip 7.
"This attack is devastating on so many levels, but sadly, it is not only entirely predictable, it was warned against over and over again. The Executive Council of Australian Jewry has warned the Albanese government that over 2,000 anti-Semitic attacks have occurred in the last 2 years since October 7th. They have learned that this is what's going on, and they have done nothing to stop this. They have continued to encourage and allow these hateful demonstrations all over Australia. They have allowed people calling to either gas the Jews or do other stuff to the Jews on the steps of the Opera Sydney House. And they have continued to allow flags of Hamas to be waved all over Sydney. And when that happens, we should not be surprised that attacks like this are going on. It's heartbreaking for every single one. They have not done enough. I hope that this is what's going to make them wake up. Here's the other heartbreaking facts. 17 people were murdered in this attack, and the victims were 10 to 87 years old. We have a Holocaust survivor who died in this attack, and we have a survivor of October 7th who actually survived this attack. So the Jewish community has been suffering these attacks over and over for generations, and this is just another one of these. And the Albanese government has not done enough to stop them at all.
Albanese government, they've been accused of some Jew hatred of their own. So Bibi fires off the letter in August, 4 months ago. Nothing's done. Nothing happens. And then now this. Melanie Phillips says, "Since October 7, there's been a global onslaught against Jews." And again, I've given several programs on the spread of Jew hatred. I think it's chapter 10 or 11 in my father's book, The Key of David, where it talks about, you know, how God has worked through the Jewish people and why there's this irrational, deranged hatred of Jews. People who hate Jews and they can't even understand why. It's of the devil. Satan is the leading anti-Semite. He hates Jews. He hates spiritual Jews. You know, someone was telling me over the weekend, too, it makes you appreciate just how much protection God gives to spiritual Jews, because look at the world we're in. I mean, it's not like everyone's able to afford security detail. Not that we would even want to look to that, but still. Especially here in America, where there are guns everywhere. In Australia, I guess it's just the terrorists that have guns. And they can go on and on shooting for 20 minutes before the authorities, I guess, figure out what's going on. In July 2025, an Israeli-owned restaurant in Melbourne was stormed by anti-Israel protesters. Today, hours after the Bondi Beach massacre, marchers in the British Midlands city of Birmingham, it's where we used to take our children to dance, Birmingham, they're in the Midlands, marched behind a banner demanding Intifada revolution and chanting, "Globalize the Intifada." Well, I think Mamdani's in that crowd, and he's the mayor of New York City. An Intifada revolution. The Bondi Beach massacre is exactly what these slogans mean. Since October 7, anti-Semitism has been roaring out of control in Australia. Synagogues have been firebombed and vandalized, vehicles set on fire, Jewish businesses boycotted, and hateful graffiti sprayed on Jewish homes and schools. They had hateful graffiti just a couple weeks ago at Bondi Beach, cursing the Jews, the Zionists. Everybody knew. Just like Melanie Phillips says, we all knew it was coming. We all knew it would happen. And now it's happened. And we'll just give it a few days. And hey, we've got Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Forget about the massacres. Forget about the family violence, blood touching blood. Forget about the targeted assassinations. Forget about all the war and the rumors of war. We've got Christmas. We've got parties to go to. We've got celebrations. We've got a new year coming, and the new year is going to be so much better than this year. Haven't we heard this before? The Telegraph says here, let's be clear about the nature of that attack. It was a deliberate and murderous attack on Jews simply because they were Jews. The murderers did not care whether the Jews were religious or secular, right-wing or left-wing, let alone where they stood in terms of Middle East politics. As far as the killers were concerned, they were Jews and therefore marked for death. You know, in the case of Rob Reiner, you've got hatred within the family that leads to blood touching blood. And then in the case of Sydney, you've got a father-son team setting out with rifles to murder Jews. What is wrong with family? We're witnessing a complete and total breakdown of the family, especially in Israelite nations. But it's all over the world. I mean, look at Muslim families. What kind of Muslim family would have a father who wants to kill Jews? He teaches his son to kill Jews, and then they both go out and do it together. There you go. A nice Sunday afternoon activity. It's a sick world. It's a world full of wickedness. The whole world is full of it. It's what 1 John 5:19 says. This one from the Telegraph, how mass immigration transformed Australia and opened up divisions. The phrase "globalize the Intifada" is not a chant, it's a call to action. It has consequences, said a Jewish man who lives near Bondi in the hours after the attack. Another Sydney local lamented the fact that some of his old schoolmates' social media accounts had become deranged with anti-Zionist obsession. It's spreading. It's like a cancer, just like Bibi said. It's spreading, and it's spreading into MAGA. Melanie Phillips says Israeli officials have given the Australian government countless warnings about rampant Jew hatred in Australia and where this would almost certainly lead. Australia's Prime Minister Anthony Albanese merely responded by pouring petrol on the flames. Astonishingly, in his original statement after the Bondi Beach atrocity, he called the attack shocking and distressing, but failed to mention anti-Semitism or that the target was a Jewish event. The knee-jerk reaction, it always tells a lot. And even if he comes around later, you know what's going on in their hearts. Listen to this from the Australian Prime Minister. This is clip 14.
We take Asia's advice very seriously. We work closely with them. We receive regular updates as well. The Director General of Asia has warned about a range of threats, be it anti-Semitism, the rise of right-wing extremist groups as well. And we continue to work closely with our security agencies.
Can you believe this? Two terrorists, Islamic terrorists, just killed 16 or 17 Jews. And he's got to make sure that you know, well, just so you know, there's right-wing violence too. Now, these people on the radical left, I mean, they can't not bring up right-wing violence, even when left-wing violence is targeting people and assassinating people. There's plenty of sin to go around, don't get me wrong. But their worldview, it's so warped. It's so perverse. You can set off the sirens all around the prime minister's residence and it's still, they would be unfazed. Listen, a little bit of Jew hatred is fine because, I mean, look at Bibi. Look at the Gaza children. Look at the Christians being targeted in Gaza. Or Tucker, for his part. Look at the poor Hezbollah fighters. You know, they had their pagers blow off. And Hezbollah's decapitated. He felt bad for Hezbollah, the terrorist organization. People, I mean, they're in that article with Politico. We didn't have time to get to it last week. But the article quotes what Steve Bannon said 7-8 years ago about Israel, supporting Israel. They're in a tough neighborhood. Everybody wants to kill them. Everybody wants to wipe them off the map. And Politico says, that doesn't really square with what your thinking is today. And Bannon just outright said, my thinking has changed. Yeah, we need to basically abandon Israel. A lot of them have changed in their views, their thinking, and they don't even know why. It's like my father says in the Key of David book. Where is this spirit of hatred? The spirit of hatred, by the way, that's the source of murder. So why the hatred? What's the cause? A lot of people don't even know. They just get out there, they join the mob, and they want to crucify. Just like in Christ's day. The Telegraph says, I was shocked and appalled by this attack, but not surprised. I've said before that Jews are the canary in society's coal mine. Further on, today at Bondi Beach, we saw what globalizing the Intifada actually means. Jews murdered for being Jews. It's not the last time this is going to happen. It's been maybe not on this scale, but it's been happening over and again all throughout Western nations. Since October 7, it's worse. Just like Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men, seducers, wax worse and worse. Now you've got the father-son tandem carrying out the massacre on a Sunday afternoon in Sydney. PJ Media, well, I played you the clip. Netanyahu warned that this would happen. Another one from the Telegraph. Bondi Beach gunman pledged allegiance to the Islamic State. There's another one from the Daily Mail. Was Iran behind Bondi Beach terror attack? Iran, you see, we're trying to reach out to them and make peace. And President Trump has assured us that that's what they want. You know, they want to have a good relationship with the United States. What a paradox. We've never had this much dialogue about peace. I say that. I mean, I'm not a historian, but it certainly seems like the dialogue about peace is at a fever pitch right now. Everybody's talking about it. And yet you look at what's happening from one weekend to the next. Blood touching blood. The land is full of bloody crimes. I think I gave you the headline from the Telegraph, how mass migration transformed Australia. And then here's another one from Reuters. Australia plans tougher gun laws after police say father and son killed 15 at Bondi Beach. So BB's saying, look, you better work to tamp down the Jew hatred. You better go to the source. He won't do that. But now there's some tough gun laws planned. Australians don't even have guns to speak of. Just the terrorists. And they're opening the floodgates to mass immigration, just like America did. I mean, it's better now, but during the Joe Obama years, just open the gates wide open. It's happening in Britain. That's why in Birmingham, they're showing support for globalizing the Intifada. And it's happening in Europe, too. And Donald Trump has called them out for that. And European elites don't like that. We covered this last week on the show. But I try to weave it all together because it certainly shows that this is not God's world. This is not being orchestrated by God. This political interview, like I said, I had it. It's a long piece. What I learned discussing Israel with Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, and Marjorie Taylor Greene. What did I learn? It says, much of the swing against Israel is being driven by a visceral sense that the GOP cares more about Israeli priorities than it does about interests of its own voters. So America first. And Israel, we've got to let them alone. We've got to abandon them. First, it says about Steve Bannon. In November of 2017, Bannon headlined the Zionist Organization of America dinner. In his remarks, Bannon praised the organization's unapologetic defense of Israel and proclaimed himself a proud Christian Zionist. And then the political guy says, I mean, that's not what you're saying today. Bannon admits, I've definitely changed because I've seen that they are not an ally. Israel, says Bannon. This is one of President Trump's closest advisors in his first term. And Bannon says, Israel is not an ally of the United States. Well, there's quite a few Islamic states that are quite happy to hear that because they don't see Israel as an ally either. They see Israel as an enemy. Bannon told me that his shift started shortly after the October 7, 2023 attacks on Israel. It started after October 7. In what world is this possible that Hamas can massacre Jews on October 7 and that would trigger a mind change in conservative commentators that used to be proud supporters of Israel? How do you explain this? This is Tucker Carlson. I made a principled case in public and in private against joining Netanyahu in this attack on Iran, speaking of the summer attack this past summer. And then for Marjorie Taylor Greene, America first should mean America first and only America first, with no other foreign country ever being attached to America first. And then this from Tucker Carlson. He told me that he started to chafe even more strongly against the perceived taboo during the war in Gaza. So here again, a mind change following October 7. He was troubled by Israel's tolerance for civilian casualties, which he came to see as a form of collective punishment incompatible with his Christian faith. Then there was Israel's operation targeting members of Hezbollah by detonating explosive pagers. What a cowardly way to kill people, including bystanders, by blowing up their private areas. A cowardly way to kill them. It was quite an operation that dated back years to rig those pagers or whatever phones they were on Hezbollah operatives to take out the leadership of Hezbollah who is there. They exist, just like Hamas, to kill Jews. But Tucker, I mean, he really felt like that was a cowardly way to do that, to kill Hezbollah. I wonder what he thinks about the massacre on Sunday. Is that cowardly? I suppose he would say it would be. But again, it's not about just picking sides. I'm not trying to make it oversimplified here. This is a chaotic, dangerous, violent, evil world. It's full of wickedness, just like 1 John 5:19 says. And Christians in this world, they're going to have to come to grips with the fact that their Bible, the way their Bible describes this world, is very different than the way they view it. They view it where, okay, there might be a little bit of bad here and there, but for the most part, it's pretty good. And my Christian sensibilities are strong. And I feel like it informs my worldview. Now, in the case of these individuals, political interviewed, we've got to cut off ties with Israel now, and that'll solve everything. And then we can make friends with the guys in Qatar and with Hamas and with these Islamists that want to kill people at a Hanukkah celebration. Just a couple more. This one, Tucker, but it was the reports of Israel's attacks on Christian churches and religious sites in Gaza that turned him decisively against U.S. support for the war. It's just so interesting, isn't it, to see that October 7, which should have triggered an onslaught of support for Israel, in fact, triggered an onslaught of support for radical Islam. Now, you cannot explain that any other way except in knowing the mysteries discussed in Mystery of the Ages, the mystery of angels and evil spirits, who and what is God, the mystery of man, the mystery of civilization. This is a quote from Mr. Armstrong. I just want to get to it later. I didn't have time to really flesh out the Brown University killing, the assassination. But this is from Mr. Armstrong. And he was writing here right at the last of his life. He's promoting Mystery of the Ages as much as he can in 1985. The book is released in September of 1985. We're coming up, by the way, on the anniversary of his death next month, just about a month from now, 40 years on from his death. But he said, you know, this book, what prompted me to write this, as I said at the start, is just a deeper understanding of the fact that God sentenced man when Adam and Eve rejected God and his government and chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil under the influence and the direction and the sway of Satan the devil. God cut man off and mankind off from the tree of life. And Mr. Armstrong here is writing at the end of his life. Mystery of the Ages has been released. The goal was to get it to the largest audience possible. He was struggling through illness for several months. And he says here, remember, this is the work of the living Creator God. We are now very near the end of this present age. I will continue to give my all to the work of God up to the last breath. I hope you will all realize the seriousness of the time in which we live, and that nothing is important any longer other than to be close to God and assured of a place in His very soon coming kingdom. He says, as he had been saying all through that year, this world is not God's world, and of that we may all be thankful. It is now in its very last days. He says, this illness has impressed heavily on my mind, more than ever before, the uselessness of this present evil world. Make sure you request Mystery of the Ages. That was what he was hard at work on that last year of his life. And it answers all of the mysteries of life, the most important questions of life. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.